The Australian Institute for Disaster Resilience has created two new handbooks to help community members and organisations review their current emergency arrangements and plan for future emergency situations. Director of Engagement and Projects Amanda Lamont explains why the resources were developed and how they've been received by organisations and communities around the country.
The Australian Institute for Disaster Resilience has as its key objective to support the building of resilience to disasters for all Australians. And we believe that knowledge is power. So by equipping people and organisations with knowledge about disasters and how they can support and contribute to building their own resilience, we think that we can achieve that ultimate goal of building disaster resilience. We also recognise that sometimes too much information can be quite overwhelming and confusing for people. So we are positioning ourselves really to be a start point for people and organisations wanting to know more about resilience and disasters and emergencies to start accessing some of that knowledge and information and using that to make their own plans and ultimately build their own resilience. So we're not duplicating what already exists with the fantastic work that various community groups and organisations and emergency services agencies provide. We're actually connecting those groups with each other and also connecting people with relevant information for them. So as part of this knowledge centre, we produce a number of publications. One of them is the Australian Journal of Emergency Management, which has a lot of peer-reviewed articles and papers. We also have this wonderful collection of handbooks, which cover a broad range of themes in emergency management and disaster resilience. They cover such topics as disaster health and community engagement frameworks, community recovery, working with spontaneous volunteers, managing floodplains and public information warning systems. It also includes crowded places and making sure people are safe and healthy at crowded places. So we have this collection of handbooks which provide nationally agreed principles on really good practice about how we go about our planning for disasters and emergencies. And our role here at AIDA is to make sure that the information in those handbooks is current, easy to access, simple to read and to use, and accessible to a broad range of stakeholders, which includes obviously emergency management organisations and government, local government, Commonwealth government and state government, but also businesses and private sector who also get impacted by emergencies and have a role to play in assisting communities in recovery. Also the research institutions and education departments and schools, and obviously people in communities and community groups as well. So we draw on the resources of that huge cross-section of stakeholders to get their input into the contents of these handbooks so that, one, we're reflecting their needs in how we articulate this really good practice principles, and also we write it in a way that it's accessible to that broad group. So our stakeholders are people that read the handbooks but also contribute their expertise and knowledge into them. With community groups, whilst we think these handbooks are really useful for community groups and organisations that work with people, everyone might be impacted by a disaster because we're talking about heat-related injuries and deaths as well, which is a big disaster here in Australia. Whilst these handbooks are to be used by those groups, we also see that it's really important to get the voice of the community into the handbook so that we're making sure, for example, when we're talking about evacuations, the appropriate level of engagement is made with the broad, diverse community groups to make sure that we've factored in considerations to plan for everybody's safe and healthy experience during a potential evacuation. So that's the broad overview of the handbook collection, and we're really pleased to announce that we've published two handbooks in December 2017. One of them is around evacuation planning, and that was a review of an existing handbook. And the other handbook is communities responding to disasters and planning and working with spontaneous volunteers, and that's actually a new resource. So we found, first of all, dealing with evacuation planning, it steps through some 5 stages for evacuation planning. So anyone with a role to play in supporting people and communities in evacuating can access these 5 simple steps and build that into their own planning. So we engaged with community groups and social services groups and some broad organisations to make sure that, one, we had thought about as many possible scenarios as possible in the way we need to approach our evacuation plans, and also so that we wrote this in a way that would be easily accessible by others who are needing to understand the evacuation process. So very quickly to step through the five stages, it's around making the decision to evacuate and then providing an appropriate warning to people, and then the physical movement of people away from danger into a place that is safe, and providing shelter for people when they've been evacuated, and then planning for the return. So we've learned a lot about the importance of getting people that have been relocated to get them back home as soon as possible, because that's really important for their recovery. Some other elements in evacuation we've thought about is people that have mobility issues, to make sure that everyone has access to some transport to enable them to make good evacuation decisions. And also thinking about things like animals. We know how important animals are to people, so we want to make sure that people incorporate the movement and management of their animals, whether it's livestock or pets or companion animals or assistance animals, to make sure that they've thought about what they're going to do in the event of emergency for their animals. So that's the evacuation planning handbook. The other handbook, which is new, we've called it Communities Responding to Disasters, Planning for Spontaneous Volunteers. The reason we're talking about communities responding to disasters is because it is very natural for people to want to help other people in emergencies and disasters. And quite often, people don't see themselves as volunteering. They see themselves as being a member of a community and that power of humanity that they're applying to assist others. So we wanted to make sure that we were talking about this very natural thing that people do to respond to disasters and other people's needs, and not formalise it by talking about spontaneous volunteers. Spontaneous volunteers are people that already existing in, say, a volunteer organisation who might not normally work in disasters but utilise their current structure to assist in a disaster. But it also includes people who will watch the news, see something terrible has happened, make a phone call and say, how can I help? I want to help. And there's so many different ways people can help. And we know that people will make those phone calls and offer assistance through donation of goods or money or their time. So the purpose of this handbook is to build a framework and some structure, but with a lot of flexibility. So those organisations that receive those calls from people have got some planning in place to enable that process to happen well. So some organisations get so busy and they are really under the pump in a disaster. When they get a phone call from somebody wanting to help, they don't always have the time or the resources or the skills to know how to really leverage that volunteer assistance to provide some useful things for them to do. So this handbook, it's all about planning. So what we're saying to everybody is people will respond through their goodwill and through their natural humanitarian nature to help out. So we need to have that in the plan. So when the disaster strikes, what does your plan say about receiving those calls? Or when somebody comes to your fire brigade or to your emergency services unit or to your community group to offer assistance, you've got a plan about how you can say, yes, we'd love you to help, and what are the jobs that we can do, or here's a list that you can join, or here's another organisation you contact. So applying general principles that we need to assist people in emergencies, that people will come to help, and that the right processes are in place to make sure that people that are affected by the disaster are helped best, and that's the priority, and people offering their assistance are also treated with respect, recognising that it's really important for them to have their offer of assistance utilised as well. So it's balancing the chaos potentially in a disaster and bringing in assistance from others to help out. So that's the two handbooks.
It sounds like a lot of thorough research has gone into putting these resources together. How long did it take for you guys to bring together all of this information?
Yeah, well, we only actually had 12 months on both of those handbooks. we started with evacuation planning. We had an existing handbook, which was a few years old. So we brought together a group of experts. Some of them were involved in the previous development of the evacuation planning handbook and some new people. So for 12 months, we sat around, we looked at the gaps, we looked at all the things that we'd learned since the last publication, and we wrote up a draft and then we circulated it amongst that group and a broad stakeholder group to make sure that we considered all the views. And then we pulled it together into a final version and got all of these groups to sign off and say, yeah, that's good, that's what we need, and that's contemporaneous current advice. For the spontaneous volunteer handbook, that was different because there was no handbook that existed. But we drew on national strategy and localised toolkits and processes that were already being used and pulled them together into a set of principles to say, here's how we make this work. And again, we just had a 12-month period to bring that all together.
What kind of feedback have you received for both the handbooks?
We have received some great feedback, and what's really fantastic is that not the usual suspects, so it's not just the emergency services agencies that have grabbed onto these and found them as a really useful resource. They're already using them and they always know the utility of the handbooks and how useful they are. These have been picked up by local government groups, social services agencies, associations, volunteer networks, and they see these as really useful in explaining the situation around spontaneous volunteers, for example, the importance of having a process in place to manage that offer of assistance that can be overwhelming, and how as disasters become more complex and more frequent, we realise that we are going to need to draw on the services of general community members to assist and not just the people that are in uniforms. So it's all those organisations that receive the phone calls, they have seen this as a real need to enable them to improve their plans and to talk to organisations that they know they're going to be drawing on for assistance. And, for example, maybe a database of people that might want to volunteer in emergencies, already gathering some information about what tools and skills they can bring to the process. So that pre-planning, really important. So the spontaneous volunteer handbook is a real gap for people, and now that exists, so people are very excited to see that in print. The importance to have the community voice and the community need reflected in the handbook so that we are really proactively and intentionally considering what it looks like at a community level and not focusing on emergency services. So a key theme here is communities and people that are impacted by disasters, to my mind, are experts in telling us what good planning looks like. So I see communities and people as providing their expertise to our planning rather than the other way around, emergency services providing expertise. So it's a bit of a switch in that traditional thinking, building disaster resilience and this aspect of shared responsibility of everybody helping each other. And it's not a situation where emergency services come in and do things to community groups. We want to work with communities. We want to work out how we can do our job best to best support them in their handling of a situation as it's unfolding, in assisting in preparation, and certainly in their recovery and their ongoing overarching resilience for the next time.
Amanda Lamont, Director of Engagement and Projects at the Australian Institute for Disaster Resilience.